Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Returns to Metropolitan Park, April 29th and 30th, with Def Leppard and Soundgarden. With The Perfect Circle, The Offspring, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Cedar, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, The Pretty Reckless, and more. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all tickets and more.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by rock icon, Terry Nunn. Terry, how's it going?
Really good. How are you?
Hey, doing well, doing well. Super excited to have you on tonight's show. You've been working on some really amazing things, and just want to talk to you and kind of catch up with you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So you just got done. You had a great tour all over in Australia. I was wondering, how did it go?
It was exciting for me. I think the first time that I was there, I was just so stressed out and scared generally because, you know, it was a whirlwind. The first time was 1984 that we were there as the band. And it was, I don't know, I was just trying to hold it together and make sure everything worked. And I didn't really relax enough to enjoy where I was. You know, to really, I remember liking it, but this time, Australia, I let in. You know, I got to experience it. I'm more relaxed person now. I'm more, you know, it's a lot more fun life because things aren't coming at me from, you know, out of nowhere, and I kind of understand the whole thing with music now after, God, 3 decades of doing it. So I really get to enjoy it more these days, and Australia is, I think, top 5 now of my favorite places in the world, next to Japan. Holland is another one, maybe because I'm Dutch, I just feel at home there, but Australia is now right up there. Great people, beautiful country, beautiful place, and the food, I'm a big Asian food fan, and they're right next to Asia, so they have a huge Asian population, and the food of that kind is plentiful. Oh God, it was fun. And they like to drink, so they have some good beer. Yeah. It was fun.
Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. Do you ever, I know this is probably a weird question, but do you ever get like nervous, or is there like an anxiety like before you perform or before you go on tour?
Less now. It's really more if I'm in an experience that I haven't been in before that I get really nervous. For example, I just sang for Congress. They do a yearly program where they bring in singers and songwriters who sing for Congress and explain to them how, say, a hit song that they know was created. So I came in with the writer of Take My Breath Away, sang that song, and he explained how he wrote it, why he wrote it. And it was really wonderful to be a part of this. And I was nervous. I just thought, well, God, they're Congress. What is this going to be like? You know, are they going to just sit there with their ties? And I've got to, I don't know. I was nervous. I haven't sung for a government body before. And you know what? They had the best time. They were out to party. I mean, they were like, you know, taking their ties off and flinging, you know, flying them around. And, oh, they were just having a ball. It was really a good time. We have a good government. They know how to have fun.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Before you perform or before you go on tour, do you have any, I guess, any pre-performance, like, rituals that you do to kind of help you, like, relax or kind of take the edge off of performing?
Yes, I have ritual before every performance. There's a few things that probably a lot of them wouldn't interest you, but one I do is I meditate before every show because it calms me down and it gets me out of my head. It gets me out of worrying. It gets me out of, do I look good? Is, you know, all the ego stuff. Are they going to like me? All that stuff that goes around in your head that you could ego games you can never win. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like a monster that can never be satisfied. So the meditation pulls me out of that and into communication, into the connection between me and the audience, you know, understanding what I'm communicating, what I want to communicate. And it really helps a lot for me before a show. That's one thing I always do, as well as, you know, obviously warm up, do vocal exercises, warm up my body. Those are things before every show that help me to get ready for one, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of shows, you actually have a show. It's a two-night event, April 30th and May 1st, at the Garden Rocks Concert Series at Epcot. Part of the 2017 series. And I think it's like one of your only stateside concerts. How do you feel about that? It's in a great location. This is something they do every year. What's it like being back?
We've played Epcot before. Now, I'm not sure if it was this series, because it was a few years ago that we played actually Epcot. We had been in Orlando recently, but this was a while ago, and I'm not sure if it's the same series. But I remember Epcot. It was a lot of fun. Have you been there? Have you seen these shows there?
I haven't seen any shows there. I've been to Epcot. But only as a child. It's been so long since I've been.
Yeah.
I really need to get back.
But yeah, you got to come to the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll be down there on the 30th. So,
okay.
Yeah,
that'd
I could
be
definitely,
great.
Definitely come down and be able to put a face to the voice.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Berlin before?
I have not. Not in real life. I'm a youngster, so I haven't. Seeing you guys live just through YouTube and, you know, just speaking with my father and other people, I've been able, you know, I've heard about you guys and I've seen your performances, but I've never seen you guys live, so.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
Well, I hope you come. That would be really fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a very visual band as well. We have a lot of video content and, yeah, it's a full experience.
Yeah, I know you guys are, you know, just renowned for your live show. I've heard, you know, like from many people that it's just amazing. And so I definitely got to see you. I'm going to make a point to come down.
Thank you.
Welcome. So I know you're really excited about this playing again, playing at this festival. Do you guys, is there any pre-performance jitters that you have that you're kind of working out?
Right now?
Yes. I know.
No, I mean, right now, yeah, I'm in the middle of writing the next album with the original Berlin, actually, with John Crawford and David Diamond. The three of us are back together and creating new music, and it's pretty exciting. It's out of the blue. I didn't expect this to happen ever, but it is. And so that's been taking over my days, you know, aside from my family. That's what I'm in the middle of right now.
Man, that's awesome.
What
is it like working with these two guys again? I know that you...
It's a lot different. It's because, you know, when we first worked together, we didn't have a life, you know, we didn't have anything else in our lives. So we were just about each other and doing that. And so things were a lot quicker, you know, they were just, you know, bam, bam, bam. Now it's a lot slower, and because we have other things in our lives, you know, I've got a family and they've got other, you know, things they do. And so, but we're making it work anyway. And what I love is, we're not only enjoying it more because we're all more relaxed about ourselves and what we do, but there's just more appreciation for each other, you know, instead of all the ego stuff that you go through when you're a kid, that's kind of dissipated. And it's so nice to let them know how much I appreciate them before this whole, you know, life right in, because we've done so much with each other. And God, there was just so much unnecessary drama that we don't need to do anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say is the secret to, I guess, just longevity in, you know, music performance? Because I know that, you know, like a lot of bands and, you know, even singers, they start out, you know, like you, but it's like they either end up being on bad terms with each other or they just burn out completely. What in your own words, like, what would you say is like the key to, I guess, avoiding burnout and, you know, just staying with it? Cause you know, like, things have changed mm-hmm. so much over the years.
Mm-hmm. Two things come up, at least, you know, in my case, that I wish I would have known then, so maybe this would help other people. One is communication, and especially listening to where a person is at, where, you know, the relationship is, and being open to hearing somebody's feelings and position. That's one, which we had trouble with. And two, keeping balance in our lives. We didn't have it. We had no balance. I mean, it was all about a record label telling us, be on tour. Okay, make a record. Okay, go back out on tour. Okay, make another record. And we had no balance. We had no lives. So that made us tired, and being tired made us mad, and we lashed out at each other instead of realizing that we just needed a break. You know, we needed balance.
Absolutely.
We needed to have friends, and we needed to have a love in our lives, and we needed a life, because work is great, but it's not everything.
Yeah,
no matter how
that.
Good it is, you know, no matter what, where it is, it cannot be everything. So we busted apart before we realized that, and then by the time we did realize that, we were off doing different things, and we lost the thread. So if people can keep those two things going, that's very helpful in longevity for a band, you know, keeping balance and listening to each other, you know, through everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. What would you say is, I guess, your most favorite part of, like, touring and performing? I know that sometimes it can be a little nerve-wracking, but I'm sure a lot of times it's a rush getting up there and performing. But what would you say is, like, I guess, the biggest, like, I guess, thing that you love the most about performing?
For me, it's being immersed. It's two things. It's the connection with the people and being immersed in music that we all love together. And sometimes it can be, you know, we might play an event that is not necessarily a Berlin show. There's like two different kinds of shows. There's a Berlin show, and then there's a show that we're part of. In other words, like we just played the Magic Convention in Las Vegas. It's the biggest fashion convention that they do there, where, you know, the fashion people, the designers meet the retailers at a huge convention center, and the retailers decide what they're going to buy for their stores for the year. So it's a big event, and they bring in bands for the event. So the people, when they come to see us, aren't necessarily Berlin fans. They might be, but there would be people there that aren't too, because they're there for the event. And so the excitement for me is playing our music and turning them on to it, like getting them into it as best I can, because I may not, but if I can, it's really great for them to warm up and enjoy it and get into it with me. That's a real high. I enjoy that part too. Sometimes it really sucks because they're just not in the mood, or they don't want to be into it, or, you know, I'm just not firing on the right cylinders that night for that crowd, and there's no, you know, the connection is harder to come by. But those nights are few and far between now, which is good. You know, people generally have a good time. And it's so much fun to have a good time together with music, you know?
Absolutely. I agree completely. Mm-hmm. I want to detour a little bit. I want to talk to you a little bit about your newest project, Animal. So I saw the music video for it, and it's so cool.
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's really, really cool. I like it. It's a little bit racy, but to me, it just, like, it really just fuels the song. Tell me about it. It's got, like a dance or, like, an EDM feel to it. And I know, like, a lot of people would say you guys are new wave. What's the story behind this, this song and then soon-to-be album?
This song was the first song I wrote with this writer who I met, and I listened to his music, and I just fell in love with his music. I tend to write I'm a reactive writer. I write lyrics to a piece of music that excites me, as opposed to just writing lyrics to write lyrics. Some people write lyrics to write lyrics, like Elton John and Bernie Taupin. In that duo, Elton John is a reactive writer. He writes music to Bernie Taupin's lyrics. Bernie writes the lyrics just to write lyrics. He loves doing it by itself. And Elton takes it and goes, "Oh, this is great," and then he'll just start, you know, creating music around it. I'm the reverse. I listen to music and go, "Oh my God, this piece of music is so great. What do I have? I have a line, or I could make up something. What am I feeling with this music?" And so I write from there. And with Animal, that music was just so primal and sensual to me that I came at it with that kind of a lyric. And that was the first thing Derek and I wrote together. And
wow.
It was explosive. Like, oh my God, I'm chained into my desk in my studio, and then you can't leave, I'll feed you, and we're just gonna write for the next time.
Yeah.
So it was really explosive and wonderful and Animal. Yeah, that song really came together fast.
Absolutely, absolutely. The music video is, like, amazing. We were just talking about it, and I know.
Thank you.
But you're welcome. I know that, you know, you're very, very visual, as we were discussing earlier. With the music video, was that all a concept that you put together, like, yourself, or did you have, like, some creative input?
Yeah, I had two thoughts. I wanted to see a big cross-section of people just getting into their bodies and animalistic, not like having sex, but just dancing and being in an environment where you could just see them feeling their bodies, being out of their heads, being in their animalistic natures. And so there's a cross-section of people. The youngest was my niece. She's 24. She's wearing a blue wig in that video. Her name's Ani, and she's in it. So she was the youngest. And the oldest was my friend Jackie. She's 80. She's in it, too.
Yeah, I didn't see her. I didn't know she was your friend, though.
Yeah. I mean, there's just all kinds of people in that. It was a dungeon, a working dungeon in downtown Los Angeles.
Wow.
And then my other concept was Raven. I'm a big fan of Raven. I met him, her, I mean, he's both a him and a her, during the RuPaul's Drag Race show. I was a judge on one of the shows and met Raven, who in the RuPaul's Drag Race show came out dressed as me at the end of the show. So he really definitely impressed me. He was absolutely great at what he did. And so I hired him, and my concept was to have me be in this place dancing, and I see this girl, and it's very intriguing and fun. And then at the end, there's a big reveal, obviously, when she takes her shirt off, it's a guy. So I wanted it to be a surprise, but Raven is so bigger than life that I thought, oh, God. You know, I mean, the director and I were like, this isn't going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, he's a transvestite. I mean, he just does, you know, he's that kind of wonderful transvestite that everything is bigger than life. You know, his hair's big, his lips are big, everything's big, his nails are long. I mean, it's all just like more girl than girl, you know. So, so I just decided, okay, we're just going to have fun with it. It's going to be what it's going to be. And we meet in this crazy dungeon club and, you know, we just go on into the night together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so cool. That's so what would you say is like the biggest, I guess, takeaway or what do you want to be remembered most for? Because I know that, you know, you have this rich legacy with your band Berlin. You've also done solo work, and you know you've also been in, you know, acting, and you've done so many things. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just a truly artistic person.
Thank you.
You're welcome. On the subject of like legacies, what legacy would you like most to leave behind?
I thought of two things. I want to empower especially women. As I get older, it's gotten more all-encompassing, just empower people to follow their dreams, whatever they are, and enjoy life to the fullest. Because if someone like me can make a dream come true, anybody can. I didn't come from anything. I mean, we were lower middle class in the valley of Southern California. My mom was, you know, taking care of the family by herself, and we lived in apartments, and we had nothing. You know, we just didn't, we weren't destitute, but we didn't have anything. You know, she lived paycheck to paycheck, but she had a philosophy that the universe is benevolent. She said to me early on, "Terry, look back in your life. Has anything ever happened to you that was not ultimately for your greatest happiness and benefit, ultimately?" And I look back and see that she's right. So with that kind of empowering message, she taught me that I can go after what I want, and the greatest thing will happen, and it has. So if it can for someone like me, it can for anybody. And I want, if I can have a legacy, I would like to leave that message so that people, while they're here, can be empowered to follow whatever it is they want to do and enjoy it.
Man, that's powerful. I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, honestly, just to be 100% honest with you, like, I never knew your background story, you know, of what it was like for you growing up. Like, I didn't know if you had a rich, you know, I guess, experience as a, you know, in terms of, like, you know, music and being, you know, involved in it. I guess I didn't know that you kind of fall into singing and music.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Wow. Yeah, no, you got to go after it. And it's not just me, anybody. You can get a leg up into music or the art, but to stay in it, you got to work, because everybody wants it, you know.
That's right. So, that's right.
And I never forget that. That's why I try to give my best every time, because I know that there's a million bands behind me that want my job. So I've got to be excellent. I've got to give it my all to keep this job, and everybody does. You know, I've got to respect anybody who has any longevity in the business, whether I like what they do or not. They're working hard. Right. Nobody gets it easy in this job, and it's worth it. But yeah, I mean, it's nobody gets a free ride.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Wow.
That's okay. You know, we got to work at something.
Yeah, you're right, Terry. You're so right. I want to kind of jump ahead a little bit, but you actually did acting for a while, and you you were almost cast as Princess Leia. Looking back on that, what are your thoughts? Like, are you kind of bummed out that you didn't do it, or do you think things, like, worked out for the best?
I'm really happy that I didn't do it. If you come see our show at Epcot, this year we put my audition tape for Star Wars with Harrison Ford into
wow.
the show so people could see a piece of it. Not all of it, but a piece of it. So you could see
yeah.
what it was like for us, you know, sitting in deck chairs reading these lines for a movie that hadn't been made yet. Nobody knew. You know, what's an R2-D2 and what's a Darth Vader? We had no idea what we were talking about. And it's hilarious. You know, it's just but my take on all of that is such a gratitude that it didn't happen, because then Berlin would never have happened, which was my true dream. I got very lucky in the acting world to get to work in it for a little while. But it isn't my lifestyle, you know. I'm a
gotcha.
Night person, and if you're an actor, you got to be a morning person. You got to get up, do your makeup at 6 in the morning, and you know, and you're constantly having to get another job unless you get a series, in which case, you know, you're doing the same thing all the time. I don't know. It just wasn't my wheelhouse, and. That said, I have such a respect for actors because it's hard. It's hard to be good at it. It really takes a lot to bring that emotion, that honest emotion, on cue when it's needed, over and over if necessary, for days if necessary, you know, crying for days if necessary to get a scene. I mean, it's hard. It's a lot of work. And
absolutely.
And it takes skill. So. That was really valuable for me because it taught me how to channel and focus emotion into a period of time, because a song is even shorter. A song is 3 minutes, and I've got to bring that honest emotion when I sing that song every time. And it's got to be honest, because that's the only way to communicate what the song is saying. And the acting world taught me, you know, how to do that. Because it requires it, whether it's a scene that's, you know, a minute or a scene that's 10 minutes. It's, you got to have that real, honest emotion happening right then to make it communicate. So it was really valuable for me to learn that.
Absolutely. I'll say so. Back in 2012, you had a radio show called Unbound, and I've heard some of your shows. Are you still doing radio, or was that just kind of a one-time thing?
I had to give the show up because we started to tour Animal, and so it wasn't possible for me to continue doing the show. I had to be on the road, so the show was every week, and it was great. I had a great time. I'd always wanted to be a DJ, and they let me play whatever I wanted to play. It was
yes.
really fun. I had a great time. But yeah, it I think making music ultimately is what I love to do more. So that 2 years was actually valuable for me, even to make Animal, because that led up to Animal. And it led up to my love for the EDM aspect of electronic music now. It's just so cool. It's so exciting and so
yeah, it really is.
Sexy and hot and pulsing and great. And I got into that because I would play it. So that inspired me to find John King from the Dust Brothers. We did a song on Animal. And then I met Derek, and we did Animal itself. And that... that really inspired me. Those 2 years being a DJ inspired me to create that music with Berlin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is awesome. I like how you have taken, you know, like various aspects and like time periods like of your life, and like you've used them as a way to like fuel your music and to help, you know, just tell this story. You know, it's so cool because we all have these experiences where we do things, you know, whether it be for a year or 2 years or just a couple months, and it's like sometimes we do these things and it's like we just kind of like brush them under the rug or dismiss them, but you found a way to like really assimilate, you know, all of the experiences of your life and to turn it into something so beautiful. I think that's really, really cool.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That was another lesson from my mom about marriage, and it kind of carried over into other experiences in life because she taught me that, you know, just staying with someone, just to stay with someone is not a successful marriage. It's not quantity. It's quality. And sometimes a marriage is meant, you want it to be forever, you don't get married. But sometimes it's not meant to be forever. Sometimes the value is for a specific lesson that we learn with the person. And then it's done. You know, we're both kind of done. We both kind of want other things. You know, my first husband was so wonderful in helping me to get over intimacy issues that I had, actually trauma issues from my childhood. But then once we went through that, we just drifted away. He didn't really want a musician wife. I wanted a kid. He didn't. I mean, everything was pointing away from this, from us being happy together anymore. So I look at that 7 years that we had and bless, thank him for what he did give me, which was, you know, the ability to be close to someone for the first time. And I mean, we're still friends to this day. And he says that that time with me was the happiest in his life. Even though he knew it wasn't, you know, meant to be forever. He wanted someone home and I was always gone. And, you know, he kind of saw the writing on the wall. But we pulled things from it that really were so valuable to the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with Mom that experiences don't necessarily need to be long to be successful.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I mean, I just took something away from that myself because it's like, you know, like sometimes we really want things to work out. We want them to last.
Yeah.
But sometimes
things
and people are just in our lives for just a brief season. So we just have to make the best of it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy it for what it's there to give us.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. I've got just one more question. I know that most people know your hit single, Take My Breath Away, from the film Top Gun. Do you remember what it was like when you found out that song was going to be a part of that soundtrack of that film? What were your emotions?
My emotions through that whole thing were such an excitement to work with Giorgio Moroder at all, because we were in love with him. I mean, the reason I even got to do Take My Breath Away is because we were working with him on No More Words. He was producing that song for us. And that was the only song that we had the money to get him to do. I mean, he was so big at that point. He'd already worked with Bowie and Blondie, and we were nothing. I mean, we hadn't even had a hit yet. So we're like, please write with us. Please work with us. We'll do anything. I mean, you know, he could have farted, and I would have sung it. So he said yes to the No More Words song. And so we were in the studio with him when he got the job for Top Gun. So he wrote Take My Breath Away for Top Gun. It was already attached to the movie. And he tried out way bigger singers than me. I mean, there were 4 or 5 singers that auditioned for that song with the producers that he found, and they all wanted to work with Giorgio, and the producers didn't like any of them. They didn't like the way the song was sung for whatever reason with each one. So Georgia was kind of, you know, frustrated, and he said, well, how about this? How about Berlin? How about, you know, I'm working with them right now. They're up and coming. You know, they're cutting edge. You want to hear Terry sing it? And they said, okay. So I got a chance. And I sang it, and for some reason they liked the way I sang it. So I got the job. You know, it was really right place at the right time, luck, and being, you know, loving Giorgio in any capacity, which I still do. We're still close friends. He's just such a marvelous, huge talent. He's now out there being a big DJ and doing his thing again, and it's just brilliant because he deserves it. So, yeah, I really, really got lucky there.
That's awesome. There's talks of possibly doing a sequel, Top Gun 2. If you were approached to do a song for Top Gun 2, would you do it?
In a heartbeat.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. You know anybody, call them.
I certainly will. And guys, if you're listening to this show and you hear this, just remember you heard it here first. Terry Nunn said she'll do it. So.
Oh, all right, if I have to.
Terry,
well,
I'm all
for having me.
You're welcome.
It.
No, thank you. I'm just so honored. Like, I'll have to admit, I was like a little intimidated when your publicist, said that you were available for interviews, and I was just praying that I didn't say the wrong thing or anything, because you're, like I said, you're an icon, and your music has just, like, really stood the test of time, and it's still amazing to today, and so I'm just grateful that you were just patient with me, and I just really hope you enjoyed doing the interview as well.
You did a great job. Keep doing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Terry. Thank you so much.
All right, Walter. Take care. I'll see you at Epcot.
Okay, yeah. I'll send Michelle an email and let her know. I'll be on my way.
We'll see you there. I'd love to meet you.
Absolutely. Me as well.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Guys, that was the one and only Terry Nunn of Berlin. We'll put the link to her website in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an iPhone of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iTunes store. Just download it, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Terry. We're also available for Android users. If you have an Android, we're in the Google Play Store. Just search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture, and you'll hear this interview with Terry. Lastly, we are available on Roku. If you've got a Roku player, you can listen to us and watch us right in the privacy of your own home, all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our name, Redefining the Counterculture, or Witten Radio. Download the app to your Roku device or your Roku smart television, and then you can begin listening to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge.
Monster Energy, welcome to Rockville Returns, April 29th and 30th at Metropolitan Park with Def Leppard and Soundgarden. Also featuring A Perfect Circle, Mastodon, Chevelle, Papa Roach, Seether, 3 Days Grace, Alter Bridge, Coheed and Cambria, The Pretty Reckless, Highly Suspect, Nothing More, and The Offspring. Welcome to Rockville. 2 days, over 40 bands, on 3 stages. Tickets are on sale now. Head over to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for GA, VIP and package tickets, additional information, and more. Welcome to Rockville, fueled by Monster Energy Drink.